new project at UW-Madison aims to fill in missing stories of Indigenous students and others who are part of the past and present of the campus community. Storytelling is central for our next guest and her family. That tradition is part of what inspired her to seek out unrecorded stories of Native people who've worked for or attended UW. Zeta Ballou is a graduate student at UW-Madison in the History Department and a researcher for the university's Public History Project. Zeta, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Miigwech, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you share some of your own experience with storytelling and in your family? You wrote about that some in an online post for the Public History Project.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am an enrolled citizen of the Pokagon Band of Potawatomi Indians on my dad's side. And one of my fondest memories growing up as part of this tribal nation is anytime there was a family gathering in my grandmother's house, my dad, my sister, his 11 brothers and siblings would pack into my grandma's house, which in hindsight could probably only comfortably hold less than half of us, but we made it work. And immediately as we got there, we would begin doing what we do best, which is telling and sharing stories, some that we've heard before, many that we haven't. But I brought that love of storytelling and listening with me to graduate school at UW-Madison.
And then you got linked up with this Public History Project. What attracted you to this?
Yeah, so I was hired in the spring of 2021 by the UW-Madison Public History Project, which is a multi-year effort to uncover and give voice to those who experienced, challenged, and overcame prejudice on campus. The goal of the project is to ensure that all students and alumni are aware of the full history of the university, including the accomplishments of campus community members from marginalized populations whose stories previously may have been hidden or not as widely known. So I was hired this past spring to research the Native history of UW-Madison from its founding in 1848 up into the present. As someone who is a Native student at UW herself, myself, I jumped at the opportunity to learn about this history of the university and its Native stories and students on campus.
So you started to hit the archives, and what did you find? And I guess maybe more importantly, what didn't you find?
Yeah, so I started where document-based historians usually start, with the documents. And I went to the Wisconsin Historical Society. I went to the UW archives, and to my great surprise, I could not find Native stories or voices represented in our documents or in our archives more broadly.
Does that mean they weren't there or that people didn't record those stories?
So I'm leaning more towards the fact that people didn't record those histories because we know that UW-Madison occupies Ho-Chunk land. We know that Native people have been here since long before the university and have continued to be here since. And I think that the silences in our archives as they revolve around Native voices is mostly because perhaps the information that gets stored in our archives most often reflects the values of the communities who have contributed to these archives. So since there are so few Native voices and stories in those archives, it sends us a message that, at least in the past, the history of UW's Native students was not as significant as non-Native UW students, alumni, faculty, and staff's histories, or those who have been more fully preserved in our archives.
Talking to Zeta Ballou, graduate student at the UW-Madison History Department, researcher for the university's Public History Project. Zeta, you found that archival absence, and you set out to fix it. What did you do?
Yes, so I went to Native students, faculty, and alumni who I knew, and I started asking the questions, the types of questions that I wish the sources in our archives would have been asking all along. And so I changed my approach completely to this work. I set out to see if those Native students, those activists who had profoundly changed the university, would be willing to share those stories with us. And much to my surprise and pleasure, several of them have since.
What are some of the kinds of stories you're hearing?
Oh, gosh. I've met an activist, a revolutionary, really, from the 1970s who organized as part of the American Indian Movement and who organized on campus to protest the unjust treatment of Indigenous, Black, and Hispanic students, as well as the Vietnam War during the 1970s. I also met an individual by the name of Kelly Holmes, who, during her time as co-president of Wong Sheik, was one of the first on campus to adopt a land acknowledgement or a recognition that their gatherings were taking place on Ho-Chunk land before the widespread acknowledgement or implementation of land acknowledgements across the campus. Those are just two of the several incredible Native people who I've met and I continue to meet each and every day that I'm a part of this project.
And are you finding as you talk to this person, they're saying, oh, and you also ought to talk to blank and blank?
Yes, as soon as I get in touch with one, they introduce me to, I literally have a list of hundreds of Native people who have attended UW and have profoundly shaped this university's history, none of whom I found documented in our archives prior to doing the work of oral history.
Is it weird for people to talk about themselves as being a part of history, if that makes sense? Like, yeah, this is just our daily lives. I don't think we often think of ourselves as being historically significant.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I approach Native folks to do this work, most of the time they're very surprised that anything that they would have to say or the histories that they have about this university would be of any historic value. But in fact, what this project teaches us, not only Native people who have been to UW, but non-Native community members as well, is that anyone, especially Native people at UW, can in fact make history. But this will only happen if their stories are told and preserved for future generations to listen to and learn from.
Yeah, can you talk about the value of oral history in general and any topic, the importance of hearing those stories and like you said, preserving them?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best parts about oral history is that with the collection of these stories, you can now, anyone in the UW community can go to the UW archives, ask to hear a story from Kelly Holmes or other Native students who have gone before here. And you can put on a set of headphones or read the transcript and hear Native people tell stories of this place in their own words and on their own terms. It's absolutely powerful. I highly encourage anyone out there to go into the archives and look for these stories themselves, because you'll learn a significant amount of the past that we don't have documented in our archives besides these oral histories.
This is a UW-Madison specific project, Zeta, but if somebody's listening and saying, we need to do this in my campus or school or community or whatever institution, what would you recommend to them to get it started?
Yeah, so I would recommend, number one, starting relationships with the people whose histories you want to have preserved. And with the UW-Madison Public History Project, we have a subscription to a platform called Their Story. It's like Zoom, but it's entirely set up for oral history. So I highly recommend working with that platform, because it's been incredibly valuable to us.
What are you looking forward to now? I mean, you've been collecting stories already. What are your plans for the future now on this project?
I would love to collect as many stories as we can. Of course, these things take time and effort and energy. But for those out there listening who want to learn more about these efforts, we are currently, we have a website called the UW-Madison Public History Project. If you out there think that you have a story of UW-Madison worth sharing, we are absolutely willing to listen. Reach out to us via our website. And then the next step for the project overall is that in the fall of 2022, there's going to be two exhibits for the UW-Madison and Greater Madison community. There's going to be a physical exhibit housed at the Chazen Museum of Art. That's in the fall of 2022. There you can learn more about the histories of not only Native folks on campus, but other BIPOC students who organized on campus and shaped our community's history. If you can't make it to the physical exhibit, don't worry. We also have a digital exhibit coming up that will be preparing in the fall of 2022 that will be housed on our website.
Zeta, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's UW history grad student Zeta Ballou. She talked with us about her work tracking down and recording stories of Native and Indigenous UW students, staff, and faculty as part of the university's public history project.